Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Hardman Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Dalrymple, and welcome to this week's Hardman Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. This week, an emergency budget, twerking, and road running. To try and give you a taste of this and some of the other news that's been hitting the headlines in our print titles, and of course online at iomtoday.co.im, I'm joined by News Hound Sam Turton.
Hello.
Jess Ward.
Hello.
And Distribution's very own Katie Kitchener.
Hello.
There's almost a tear in your eye there,
no,
Katie.
Everyone's just smiling a lot, except for Sam.
Well, that's standard. It is a sad occasion, though, isn't it, Katie?
It is.
Because it's the last podcast for one of us. And it's not you.
No, it's not. No.
And it's not Sam, even though he wishes it was. And it's not me, even though you wish it was. It is Jess's last podcast, isn't it?
I know, I can't believe that this moment has arrived.
Now, it's not because we've been instructed to take you off air because of your constant mispronunciations of Manx words and other just straightforward English language.
Although Coach of Alan are furious about
yeah, it. Yeah, the good word that Katie is doing is being negated by you somewhat as you continue to butcher our mother tongue. But
do you feel guilty?
You are leaving us. You are leaving the podcast. You're leaving Isle of Man Newspapers. You're leaving the fame you've accrued as one of the people that does the press conferences. You're going, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm kind of leaving on a high note, I guess.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
So, I've taken up a very different position, a very different role as fitness supervisor at Cycle 360, which...
All right, don't
getting
plug
out of the newspaper game completely.
Yeah. Don't plug it too much. You have to start charging your advertising rates.
I know, got to be careful what I say. Yeah. So yeah, I'm really excited, but I'm also needing to be very cautious because you guys know what I'm like around coffee. Like even the fumes.
Oh yeah, fair point, yeah. Mm. Like Sam is, yeah, he's very not much.
He's not going to miss that.
No. Yeah, so it is a very sad occasion. So we're going to try and make this a really good podcast to see you off into the distance, as it were. Sam, it's been also been a good big week because there was an emergency budget. Sam, sound effect.
Budget.
Budget.
The budget's like a game show.
Yes. Yeah. Wheel of Fortune. That's how
yeah,
we
I like it.
Nice. Right, tell us about it.
So, obviously, coronavirus, COVID-19, call it what you will.
The C word.
Yeah, that's the one. So it was decided that we need to have an emergency budget to reflect the change in income for the island. Treasury Minister Alf Cannon said that it's going to cost between 120 and 190 million is going to be the total income drop for the government. So obviously it's a significant hit. It's about £1,500 per person. And this week he's laid the Tim Wood, which has been unanimously backed. Where we go from here, as he said, it's the fight back starts now. So, I am going to make noise with paper, which I know everyone's going to hate, but it's sort of necessary because there's loads of information.
It makes it look like you've got the purple book with you.
We had a purple book.
But
we've never had a purple book.
On a memory stick.
Yeah, we've got...
What's the purple book for people who don't know?
So, normally you get the pink book, which is the budget every year, which is in February. Mm. You get the blue book, which is the government accounts, so that's, you know, where our money's gone. And the bank account is sitting in offshore finance. Which is fine, because we are offshore.
Yep. See, wonder where you go with that one.
And... It's all going on red. That's the plan for the economic recovery. It's all going on red. And yeah, so the highlight really, I think, of the budget this week is there's lots of numbers, and this is brilliantly put together by Adrian in The Independent on pages 1, 2 and 3.
Three-page special.
But it's all about finding the cheese.
Finding the cheese.
We have to find the cheese.
Now, I read this morning, obviously, or actually I think I read it yesterday, and I was a little bit lost. How can a budget relate to cheese?
Because it's not about cheese.
Right. Is it about the holes in the cheese?
Oh, we have to plug the gaps.
Yeah.
Ooh,
that's good.
That's not bad. No, what it is...
It's not my first motivational speech.
Yeah. So it's all about finding the new cheese together. So how the island is going to build its new business base, where do we go from here, and sort of Tim was basically doing that as a government of unity.
So you should explain now. Now, we're not literally talking about the creamery's finest here, are we?
Not like a new cheese fusion.
Not we're going to just build the economy on cheese, which I think is a possible because it's a ruddy good cheese.
Yeah, and it's a lot of people, shout.
And it is exported across the world, as we know already. But it's actually some sort of business culture mantra talk, isn't it? Yeah,
it's based on a fable. And this isn't Aesop's fable. This is more like Dow Jones fable.
You know? Okay, right. So this should be a fable that if you're at the cut and thrust of business, you should know, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
So how is it used in a Manx budgetary context?
Essentially, that things have changed, so we now have to be less risk averse is what we're going for, but dealing with new opportunities. Instead of, basically, the last time Neon took a hit like this was when the UK government raided our VAT fund, but this is different to what that was. This is another fantastic one that came up was, if we don't avoid the long nose, we could end up being called the Pinocchio Island. It's sort of one of these weird ones, so it's like, the long nose.
You said you turned into David Brent. You're speaking and you're saying words that not necessarily make sense.
Right. Essentially, we have to be open for business.
We need Pinocchio and cheese.
Yes, and we're using his nose goes through the cheese, and that's how we find the cheese. So we're going to find the cheese.
Sniff it out.
Exactly. So anyway, it's all about being open for business and the island recovery post-COVID.
Is he a real boy now? Is this to do with Alf Cannon and the Scarecrow?
No, that was completely different.
That was actual.
That was the Yellow Brick Road.
Right.
This is the cheese. Right. And the island of Pinocchio.
Okay.
So it's about being young, being open for business, and welcoming new business into the island, providing it creates jobs, creates wealth.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast.
So we also have some facts from...
Some
figures.
We're back on track. Go on.
So we've had, since the start of lockdown, we've had 1,999 jobs, 12,295 businesses, and paid out £27.5 million in support to try and save as many jobs as possible, which has included £2.5 million to 182 hotels and tourist accommodation providers. And business support scheme has paid out £9.2 million to 3,061 businesses. There's loads of this stuff. This is all Adrian's work, which I'm making a hash of reading out.
No, you're doing a perfectly good job. So that's on page 1, 2 and 3 of the Indy.
Yeah, and there is some good news.
Go on.
So that's how much we've spent so far, and it's only going to cost us another 100 million to kickstart us back to where we're
going. Another 100 million?
Yeah, that's small
That's
change.
Like six Pinocchios, isn't it?
This not anticipating more waves where we're in complete lockdown and things will take a massive hit again.
No, because I think the reality of things is that things have changed with COVID, that you're seeing it reflected now, that I think, you know, we'll go to masks before we go to lockdown.
Yeah.
Because essentially the reaction to the virus is going to be very different the second time around, which is what you've seen in the UK, where they're already preparing for it.
Or even in Barcelona, where they've still not gone into a lockdown mode, even though the cases have risen by a lot.
Oh, wow.
They have a lot of it. Aren't they currently dealing with some sort of political issue again, though? Well, former leader's in exile again, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, is that Catalonia?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is the whole thing where it's how we respond to coronavirus or COVID if it comes back again in the winter, which will be different to how we respond to the first time. There will not be a massive lockdown. And this is sort of, you've seen it in the UK now, how you prepare your economy for that. And it's the same here. This is preparing the economy not only to rebuild itself now, but also to prevent a future shock.
Right. So if you want to know about Pinocchio and where cheese fits into all of this, I'm still a little bit lost, I'm not going to lie to you. Please do pick up a copy of this week's Magazine Independent, which is in the newsagents now, and of course, available digitally. Katie?
iomtoday.co.im, and click on digital editions.
For a budget-friendly £1?
£1, bargain.
Yeah, absolute bargain.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Now, this is probably one of the most amazing tangents. We've gone from the budgets, Pinocchios and cheese, to...
twerking!
Yes, you said you were going to leave us on a high.
Yeah,
and
I think I've delivered.
You have. When I read this story in the Examiner on Tuesday, I was in tears of joy, laughter and proudness. I was proud of what a tremendous job you'd done of it. The some of the quotes were amazing. And Keisha's...
Gold star.
Houston's quotes. But yeah, you need to sort of give us a bit more context then, because all we've said is twerking.
Okay, so... as of this month, the island now has twerking classes. So these are delivered by freelance instructor Keisha Hewison. She does quite a lot of things around the Isle of Man, but it was during lockdown that she felt particularly inspired to bring this to the Isle of Man. So it's a dance move that originates in West Africa, and people will probably recognise in like a lot of music videos where it's you basically shaking your bum.
But it's a fitness class, basically. Now, you did the first one on Saturday. It's 45 minutes, isn't it? Now, obviously, you're going into a fitness job now, and so you're very active and fit. How tough was it?
It was quite a challenge. I mean, I'm not very good at it. I went with my sister and a few of my friends, and my sister is just, I don't know, she's amazing. But yeah, I was absolutely sweating by the end of it. It's a decent workout, and it was really fun. Like, I didn't feel like it was awkward. I mean, I went in there thinking, oh, this could be very strange, but it wasn't. I felt very well. The whole idea is to, like, make you feel confident and empowered, I guess.
And what about the physical benefits? Is it, you know, can you feel it in your glutes? Or...
Oh, I definitely felt it weirdly around my shoulders.
You're
and,
doing it wrong.
And my back. My shoulders and my back. In your legs as well, like where your thighs are, I'd say. But yeah, no, it was amazing, like, how much of a workout it was. And quite a few people turned up because it was a launch event, and... She ended up having to divide people into two groups and take two sessions, where I think she might have planned just to do one session, but the interest was certainly there. And yeah, and well, it was a bit awkward because we had to, so basically we got in, we learned some of the basics, and then she kind of gave us a very basic routine to follow, and then we had a little dance off, like a battle off, like half of us were split, had a twerk off basically, but I hadn't realised half of the other half, they were proper dancers, so we had no chance. But yeah, no, it was a really good time, I thought.
What was the standout track of the 45 minutes?
Well, she didn't play any, like, classics. Like, I was thinking maybe,
bit of Blue,
like...
Cantrell.
Sean...
Yeah, with Sean Paul.
Sean Paul, like, Shake That Tick. No, but nothing like that. It was more, like, kind of... I'd say music with Western African kind of roots, I'd say.
Sounds very interesting.
Yeah.
Sam, you have a question.
Speechless.
Or an observation. Are you still thinking about Pinocchio and his cheese?
No, do you know what? I was... no, it's
Do you
okay.
want to start?
What?
Do you want to go to the classes?
Yeah,
I mean, you can do a
feature. I think I'd be great at it. Yeah. I think anyone who's ever seen me in the outback and has seen me do a certain type of drop at the bar will know what I'm on about. You know?
Oh, yeah.
I've got moves, but I'm not allowed to show them.
That's cost many... Your poor mother's had to stitch up many a pair of pants after that. we should point out it is open to men and women, this class.
Yeah, it is. She said that. Like, you know, it's for both of the sexes, I guess. And she's going to be having quite a few sessions. She had her first public one the other day and had quite a few. My sister went down also. So she said, again, it's just about building your confidence and just letting yourself loose a bit.
So please do read the article in the Examiner about this, because it is an absolute cracker. Of course, as we said, it's still in the newsagents, and of course you can get it digitally, as Katie said, the same way you could get the Max Independent. Katie, would you be tempted to go for a twerking class?
Probably not, no.
More spin or something more conventional?
I like to sit on a bike, not twerk.
But... Twerk, yeah.
I just find it a very strange coincidence that Jess is leaving the papers at the same time the island gets its first twerking class, starting there.
Onto me.
Right, this week's sports story. Twerking class as a sport? I don't know. Could we see this in the Olympics in the future? Because there's a lot of debate about whether pole dancing should be included.
That's true.
The artistic merits of it. It's a bit like ice skating, but involving...
Yeah, one of my friends actually does pole dancing, and, like, she posts quite a bit, and the strength that she must have...
Core strength is off the charts, isn't it?
Ridiculous,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Fair play. But we're going to a slightly more conventional sport for our sports story of the week this week. It's road running, athletics. Now, last week there was a 5K walk and run held around the NSC Perimeter Road. Everyone would probably be familiar with that. And it was perfect night for running, and the Manx records were sent a-tumbling. Is that the right word? A-tumbling? Sam?
Yeah, sure.
Cheers, yeah. So Ollie Lockley and Rachel Franklin both set new senior Manx records at 5K. Ollie, 5K, so that's 3 miles, did it in just over 14 minutes. So it's like 4.5 minute miles in average. So that's
Is he the fastest runner here in the island?
He's just broken the 5K record, and he's pretty rapid. There was Keith Gerrard back in the day who ran for Great Britain. Now I think he's living in New Mexico in America.
Mm.
He was very handy back in the day as well. But yeah, Ollie is probably the best of the current crop. But yeah, 4.5 minute miles. Not even you can run that quick.
I could almost.
But yeah, Rachel Franklin also took the long-standing women's record by smashing that by over a minute. But so there was tons of pitches, results, and I think a couple of age group records went as well. So you can read the report from Andy Fox's report from that in the Manx Independent this week. Also, I want to point you in the direction of another podcast. I know this is heresy.
What?
The Manx Football Podcast sails again. I've got Disco Dave Dunton out of his iron lung and back in. back with the rest of us. So we recorded that this morning, and we've also got a lot on FC Isle of Man as they were accepted into the English leagues this week. They're going to be playing their football in North West Counties Football League Division 1 South as of next season. So we've got a bit of a reaction to that, and so Dave tells us what 4 months like in Onken's been like.
And the weather. You do the weather?
No weather this week.
Oh. No, because they don't count the pre-season friendlies, so Dave wasn't doing the weather.
Oh,
no,
okay.
No. We build them up. It's little steps, you know.
We've got to read. Baby steps.
Baby steps.
It is my favourite part of the podcast is Dave reading the weather. Because it's so awkward.
Yeah. Like Eminem, it will be back. Right. So we go back to July 28th, 1960, which was a Thursday, Dave fans. And it was the Isle of Man Examiner of that week. And it's a very busy front page, Samuel.
Yeah, well, let's start with the... there's plans to do major construction works on the promenade, which...
They're still ongoing.
Yeah, they haven't actually finished them. They're still in the development stage.
Yep.
I was trying to work this out, to be honest, because the map they've used... Obviously, this is back before they had Google Maps and before they had Grace.
Yeah.
So the map is terrible.
Yeah.
And I can't actually work out where this section this is. Because Castle Mona Avenue, I just look at it and go, it doesn't look anything like that.
Well, Broadway, it's a lot wider than it suggests. Castle Mona Avenue suggests it's a lot wider. And then it's got Broadway to the left.
So Villa will be here.
That's the wrong map, Jess.
But, yeah, no. I was just saying.
I'm thinking outside the map.
So yeah.
This is like that... If you set up the Regency, it's about here.
Yeah.
So
this is like that red brick building opposite Marmaris, isn't it?
Right.
And the war memorial will be like...
Oh, I see. Yeah. Right, yeah, I see what you're saying.
So I think that's where it is. But then I look at it and go, I don't know what ever happened to these plans, because the area looks nothing like this.
No.
And then obviously there was plans for 1, 2, 3, 4 shops, a covered yard, and first aid post.
And there's also a little kiosk
steps
to roof.
But I would say... See, it was described as the busiest holiday season junction, so it shows you that they were planning for tourist industry at that point. And...
To be fair, you think Castle Mona Avenue, there's a lot of guest houses down that road.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so I can see what their thinking was at the time. So this was, of course, 1960, the summer of 1960. Hmm. I love the headline, Brilliant Start to Highland Games, Then Rain.
Yep.
The threat of rain did not keep the crowds away from the Highland Games at Onken Stadium yesterday. An estimated 8,000 people... saw the impressive opening of the City of Glasgow Police Pipe Band. Mm. There you go.
They can draw the crowds.
I think the best headline on this front page by miles is Governor goes on holiday.
Yes,
His Excellency and Lady Garvey will be off Ireland for the month of August. During this time, the visitor's book will be available for signature at government office. I imagine when Mrs. Kitchener goes on holiday, she puts a similar notice in the courier.
Sorry to have missed you. I didn't read the paper. It doesn't say where they're going, though.
No, which is weird, because you used to get that, but you'd have governors, when we've done earlier ones of these, in the 40s, goes, oh, the governor's gone to Antigua. Yeah. What?
Yes, yeah. There was also a charity football match involving the Manx police. Famous television personalities, including Dave King, Andrew Ray, brackets, son of Ted, and Bernard Breeslaw will be members of the TV All-Stars football team, which is to meet a team drawn from the Isle of Man Police Force at King George's Park, otherwise known as the Bowl, on Sunday.
Have you seen who's playing for the police team?
Anyone? Oh, HMH Duff. Of course he is. Bet he scored about 37 goals. He was only, where were we on? 1960, so that's 60 years ago, so he would have been in his 40s.
I don't think my dad retired from Derby football team until his late 50s.
Oh, there you go.
But they were renowned for losing.
They stopped playing in the 30s, but no one actually told them.
Katie, the adverts, anyone catch your eye this week?
The underwear advert.
We've
just been
bit of filth on the front page.
Yeah.
What's it say?
Because it's luxury by day and by night.
Wink.
I was just saying, I think they should bring it back, the fashion.
Lingerie?
Yeah, well, no.
I thought that was still
this particular...
Oh, like the evening gown sort of thing.
Well, we thought this was a proper dress, but it turns out it's it's a bra with a skirt. And we were saying, actually, that could make quite a nice going out outfit. Times have changed.
Yeah, twerking and bra skirts are the way forward.
Also, happy Hotel Sefton's in top left corner.
Of course.
I'm going to have to start going by and like keeping a record of the dates and the years when Hotel Sefton was up there. But also, sale of oddments in men's footwear.
Yes, I think we've come across the word oddments before. Have we?
They should bring that word back.
Is that like miscellaneous?
It's like when you can't be bothered listing everything. You just like, oh, we've got various oddments.
Yeah.
And then the other ad is for the Composite Weekly Times, which gives complete coverage of the Newsweek, which obviously... 32 additional pages, including Tuesday's Daily with Fenella's Women's Magazine, Women's Institute Reports, wedding pictures, and out-of-town news.
I like out-of-town news. Because there was one page that we saw where it was... I don't know how long they did this for, but it was down south. It was called Over the Bridge. So everything that happened south of the ferry bridge was referred to as It Happened in the Land Over the Bridge.
Right, before we move on to yesterday's training, I just want to make the last advert on the front page of the Alamann Examiner of July 28th, 1960 is for... Fox and Lane Limited for your refrigerators. Imagine that. Imagine not having a fridge at home.
Yeah.
Where would you keep your keys then?
Dark times.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Quite a long one today.
Okay.
I've got quite carried away with doing quite a lot of reading. Not much else this morning except reading about this. So,
Arthur Cayley.
Do you know him?
The name rings a bell.
You will. I think Sam will get excited.
I worked with one of his descendants.
Did you?
Yeah, Saskia. She works at Barclays. Or used to work at Barclays.
Oh.
There you go. Claim to fame, Sam. Right.
Okay, so Arthur Cayley, otherwise known as the Manx Giant, was born in Sulby in 1824. He was baptised in Lazare and was one of 12 children born to Arthur Cayley Sr. and Anne Cayley. His father was a farmer and Arthur would help him work, but it was in his teens when Arthur began to grow and didn't really stop until well into his 20s. So in 1851, he was on a trip to Liverpool and the newspapers wrote stories about this giant man who was visiting. So he was described as being 7'7", and then eventually he would go on to be described as being 7'11".
Wow.
So quite the height.
NBA
height. But also he was... A lot of people with giantism tend to just be tall and they tend to be quite slender, whereas he was broad
stacked.
And he was stacked, very stacked. So he started exhibiting himself in shows in Manchester.
Get arrested for that these days.
Manchester, London and eventually Paris. And then his mother received a letter in February of 1853 informing her that Arthur had died in Paris.
Aww.
This happened to come just after a life insurance policy was taken out on him by his manager.
Oh my gosh. Gosh.
Scandal.
Get Netflix on the phone.
Yeah.
In 1959, a 7'7" Arabian giant, Colonel Ruth Goshen, was performing at Barnum's American Museum over in New York. So Colonel Goshen, the Arabian giant, would perform alongside General Tom Thumb and tall lady Anna Swan, who, if you've seen...
Yep.
Greatest showman.
Yeah.
They're in that. So by this time, the story had changed somewhat to suit his new alias. He was a 27-year-old, born in Jerusalem, and of Hebrew and Turkish heritage. He had a distinguished military history. He'd served in campaigns in Mexico, the War for Italian Independence, and the Crimean War.
So
he wasn't a boy from Sulby anymore.
Arthur changed his... Oh, this is amazing.
So hold on, he faked his own death?
In
or
Paris,
somebody faked his own
death? There's reports that they buried a log in a coffin in Paris.
So somebody faked his death,
yeah.
And then he turns up as the giant in The Greatest Showman.
He's the Arabian giant, and he had this backstory of being like this...
What?
I know.
That's amazing. So, can you visit the grave of the log?
In Paris, I'm not sure, but wait one second, we'll get to other bit.
The actual one from the film is based on him.
I don't know, but he was performing for P.T. Barnum for years.
Never mind the podcast. Why isn't this in the Examiner?
So we've got.
We need to tell people about this.
He said,
Mrs. Kitchener, tell everyone.
So he would tour for years with P.T. Barnum in The Greatest Show on Earth. He was married a total of three. He had quite an exciting life. It gets even better. He was married three times. He lived with one of his wives, Augusta White, who was a German snake charmer.
What?
They lived together in New Jersey. They were joined by fellow circus performers John Sweet and horse rider Elizabeth Sebastian. And apparently, while Colonel Gosham was away on tour, his wife and John Sweet eloped together, taking with them $600 worth of silver, $70,000 worth of bonds, along with a wagon and a load of farm animals. So that's quite a...
Yeah.
Quite an amount to have, yeah. Gosham would later cross paths with John Sweet in Atlantic City, of all places, and he threatened to kill him with a pistol and then beat him with a cane. So he went to court for that. But yeah, as you do. He died in Middlebush, New Jersey, in 1889, and left his valuable estate to his adopted daughter and sister, Margaret Cayley Gelling, who was in New York. His tombstone reads, Colonel Ruth Gosham, Middlebush Giant. But it's talked about that it was on his deathbed when he confessed he was on the Arabian giant they'd all grown to know. And he was actually a man from the Isle of Man.
This is amazing. I know there is a book.
Because it was only really after he died that his true identity became known. There's a book written by John Quirk called The Manx Giant, The Amazing Story of Arthur Cayley. It goes into more detail about who the man behind all of these myths was. And I believe it was written alongside one of his descendants.
John, of course, used to be our features editor on my newspapers and is here when I started. So. Well, be well worth a read. Maybe we should start my Alman Newspapers podcast book club.
Yes.
Because we often recommend a book.
We do.
So this week's reading class is the Arthur Cayley story by John Quirk.
So the reason I actually found this, because have you ever been on Atlas Obscura?
No.
It's like a travel website, but for more kind of weird, diverse things you might want to do in places. So like we found like the train graveyard in Bolivia through this site. But I was looking to see what we had on the Isle of Man on it. So we have the shipwreck in Jersey.
Jersey.
I'm staring at Sam because he tried to go there the other day. But one of the things that came up was Rose Cottage is actually the only monument to the Manx Giant on the Isle of Man. So the Manx Giant's Pillar, it's called, is on the front gate of the cottage and it's topped with a life-size cast of his hand that goes from the palm to the tip of his middle finger. And it's actually at the same height as what Arthur Cayley was.
I believe that, yes.
And I've never noticed that.
That is amazing.
They did have an exhibit to him in the Manx Museum, but in their wisdom, they've replaced it with a dedicated thing to more motorbikes.
No, I think you can compare yourself size-wise.
Yeah, it was in the basement, but that's what they've moved out.
Yeah, but isn't it? But this upstairs now, isn't it?
Has it moved?
I think it has, because you can show your kids that you're like, oh look, you're three Arthur Cayleys, whatever. but that's an amazing story, yeah. Good work again, Kate. I'm well impressed with that one.
I've only watched The Greatest Showman once on a plane, on my way to Turkey, so I can't confirm if he's playing him, but he was the tall man, the giant.
I can imagine it.
Who toured for years with them.
Would you cut Hugh Jackman belting out and chewing, and then you hear, all right, fella!
John Madgell turned up to take a picture, has he?
Right, well, that's about it for this week. It's very sad times. Jess, before you leave us to your new venture, have you got anything that we should be looking out for in next week's papers?
Yeah, so I've just gone to Belkameen High School because they had their higher education fair, I guess.
Yeah.
So it was, instead of having representatives from universities across, they had students who are Manx come in kind of speak on behalf of those universities, which was quite a cool idea, actually. So I've got a public opinion piece, I guess, on that, as well as just a brief kind of what happened on the day and speaking to the students who organised it.
Sam, you got much on your plate, as it were?
Yeah, loads. We should be finding out the result of whether the sewage works can go ahead and Laxey.
It's been rumbling on for a while, hasn't it?
It's been rumbling on for quite some time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, will we find out? Are they going to get the...
pump or dump?
Pump or dump. Yeah. That's what it comes down to, I'm afraid, Katie.
Do you prefer to pump or dump, Katie? which side of the fence are you sitting on?
I don't know what's better for the environment.
Sam and I have got the tune ready for it.
Have you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't hear it.
Oh. Is it a special Sam certain sound effects copyright?
No, it's a... Don't you know, pump it up. You've got to pump it up, don't you know?
The problem is, because Leeds have been promoted this week, I've heard nothing but that song.
But what? So would you just change it to dump it up if it has to be dumped instead of pumped?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, fantastic. Right, so that.
Yeah, and the, oh, there's just loads of
loads
stuff.
Loads of Timwald stuff, isn't
loads
it?
Loads of Timwald
last stuff. Timwald session before the summer recess.
Yeah, and oh, in this week's Courier, there's some great news for fans of the Grey Partridge.
Oh, there is. Very big news for fans of the Grey Partridge. Also very big fans for people that are coming from Guernsey as well.
Yeah, and with some new faces and some old faces.
It's, yeah, the Courier is literally going off. Quite literally.
Yeah.
Right, Katie, much in the world of a distribution before we sign off?
Well, I think I'm just going to try and access the digital edition of The Independent and read about the cheese and Pinocchio and find out what has happened in the budget.
You might also want to find out about pumping and or deed dumping. Yeah, because that's in The Independent as well.
P&Ds.
Well, Jess, I'd like to say it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, but that was a lovely night. Savage.
We'll be opening the door for a new. We have a new spot now on the podcast, so if you can butcher the English language,
just like me,
please do get in touch with your CV and an audio clip at IOM News Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Now it's going to be. It's not going to be the same without you, Jess. Who's going to sit on the stool now?
I don't know. I feel it's not a bit. The stool's going to be neglected.
Yeah, we might have to. I mean,
step up.
It's not just that. What if we get somebody? We have to give them a chair.
No, that's. We'll put that in their contract.
Okay.
Right.
Sit on the stool.
It's a step up. It's not even a stool.
Is it?
I think we're
because we are in a cupboard, so it makes more sense as a step.
Have you not?
No,
whole time?
I thought it was like a proper like stool. I didn't. It was one of the little Dalek things that go around.
What?
Well, they always remind me of Daleks because they just go around. They can't go upstairs.
Right.
Okay.
On that bombshell. Until next week.
Bye for now.